I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for March 5th, 2012 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mike Brown, Katie Capelini.
Here.
Doug Hainem.
Here.
Sandy Hussman.
Here.
Mark Lutke.
Here.
Todd Milner.
Here.
Mary Westfall.
Here.
Mr. Brown is excused. Six members of council are present, so a quorum does exist. I welcome you to our council meeting this evening. I understand we have some students from Notre Dame Academy here. We're glad you're here. There are agendas on the two side tables if you'd like to pick one of those up, if you haven't already. If there's something you want to ask city council, please raise your hand, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. At this time, I invite you to all to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mr. Hainem.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda. The administration does have ordinance 23-2012. It's a compensation ordinance. I'd like to add that as 9B. We'll make ordinance 22-9A, and then we'll add ordinance 23-2012 as 9B. I'd also like to add, as agenda item 12, an update from Mr. Sanford. He has updates on the Tier 2 Downtown Development Grant Program and also an update on the Downtown Market Study. We'll make that agenda item 12. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Under 10, I would like to give a report of the Finance Committee meeting, which was held earlier this evening.
That'll be 10A.
That's all I have.
Other members of council? Mrs. Hussman.
Yes, Mr. Brown, in his absence, asked me to give a report on the utilities and environment meeting that we had on February 24th.
All right, we'll make that 10.
5A. Make that
5A.
Oh, yes.
5A. Then we'll make the resolution 5B.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to. I'm not sure if it's a committee referral. I'd like to make a referral to buildings and grounds on something regarding Sylvania Historical.
I think it is. We'll make that 11A.
Okay.
That's a historical village financial report referral, I believe.
Yep. Thank you.
So that'll be 11A. And Mr. Milner, I believe you have a referral to do tonight to the Economic Development Subcommittee.
Yes.
Are you going to make that part of your Finance Committee report?
Yeah, I can just make it part of my Finance Committee report.
Okay. Other items from members of City Council? Mr. Eichenauer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Adler?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mull?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, then. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Moving on to agenda item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes from our February 21st meeting. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move the journal of minutes of the meeting of Sylvania City Council of February 21st, 2012 be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from February 21st, 2012 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to agenda item 5, we're first going to start with added agenda item 5A, which is a report of the Utilities Committee meeting. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the Utilities and Environment Committee met on February 24th and to discuss the Whiteford Township request for access to our sewage lines. And I think Mr. Moan and Mr. Aller want to speak to that. I don't know who wants to go first and...
I'll be happy to, Mr. Mayor. I would just indicate that we did have a meeting and in attendance were representatives from Whiteford Township who made the case for a need for access to our sewer treatment facility. And we discussed various commitments that we would make in order for that to occur. They're contained within the resolution, but effectively they have the financing in place to be able to construct this sewer extension to service a defined territory, defined service area, limited in scope, with safeguards primarily based upon flow of sewage to restrict the amount of development in the state of Michigan, in exchange for which we're willing to allow them to be effectively a customer of the city, subject to the preparation of an agreement to be executed by the city and the county, similar to what we already have for providing sewer services to another area of Whiteford Township. The committee recommended unanimously that the resolution and the terms contained therein be approved tonight.
Anything to add, Mr. Aller?
No, I think Mr. Moan summed the meeting up and summed the terms up pretty well.
All right, is there, we do have resolution 5.
I have a question.
Mr. Hanna.
Yeah, I read the Blade article about this.
Okay.
And one of the things that I noted was that Mike Brown raised a question about the golf club property.
Correct.
And potential and his concern about development of the golf club property and potential pressure on the city that would accompany development of that. How did you resolve that during the course of the discussion?
What it is, it's sort of an additional bubble. When you take the service area running along Memorial Highway, whatever road it is, the extension of Main Street, up, where it gets, it's going to serve, obviously, the existing Whiteford, the Out of the Lake community, and then it extends off to cover the golf course. It's a larger geographical area. The way it was resolved, from the very beginning, is the amount of flow that we are required, that we have put on as a maximum amount of sewage treatment that we'll take. And it's 0.125 MGD, which I'm going to now kick it back to Kevin because he'll be able to tell you the maximum number of units that it can serve. I think we already have the design, there's going to be 75 to 100 units that are going to have to pick up to be served immediately, meaning the maximum number of additional units will be around 75 served through this sewer. Kevin, is that around?
Yeah, those are approximate numbers because they're exact units. We still have to determine that they've calculated those correctly. But the flow limitation of 125,000 gallons per day, basically, will determine how many units they can ultimately connect up to that. They will basically have very close to about double the number of connections that they plan on connecting immediately. So that doesn't allow for a 400-home subdivision or, you know, a large industry that would discharge a lot of flow or something like that. So the limitation is going to be in that flow of 125,000 gallons per day. It just won't permit.
How much is the existing users going to?
Roughly about 90 to 100, which is a flow of roughly about anywhere from 40 to 50,000.
How do you monitor?
About $50,000.
And we have 100, okay, so you got 40 to 50 now, we have a cap of?
125.
125. How did we come up with 125?
That was what they requested. And we don't have, and with the flow that we have in the sewer lanes in that area, that part of it, the flow, does not cause us any concern. They have some area there, what's that area off of Hampton Road?
Where Green is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they have some areas there that they are going to have to make part of this original project as well. So that's where the total number of units is, they're trying to.
Why did they include the golf course?
The golf course has a lagoon, an existing lagoon system, lagoon treatment system, that is not operating properly. And the golf course wants to abandon it, and they're being encouraged to abandon it. That lagoon system connecting accounts for, I believe they said, 6 units. But because you're taking in the golf course is one property, so you have to show the whole property. You don't just, you can't just show where the lagoon sits, so.
There was also discussion in the paper that it represented some, they have some zoning, agriculture zoning control. Do they have anything like environmental covenants in Michigan? We could impose an environmental covenant that we would be, that we'd be a holder on and that we would have direct control over?
At the meeting, they did show us the various properties in that area that have effectively an agricultural covenant, similar to what you're talking about, an environmental covenant, that makes it impractical for any type of development in much of the area around that service area. So they did address it in our meeting. They did not say an environmental covenant. And again, this is limited, if we're talking about additional 75 MGD to be able to serve, the potential is there that they may someday want to extend this sewer to cover the elementary school, Whiteford's Elementary over there, and also the property that's just across the line in Michigan, it's been there for years. It doesn't have a sewer, just north of our city line, north of Summit Street. That's going to consume up much of that 75 MGD anyway, so.
I got to tell you, I'm not even sure how much I care about this. I'm just trying to understand what we're doing.
The control is in the amount of sewage that they can bring down.
But as I've said, I'm very concerned that they cannot use that additional capacity just north of the Ohio-Michigan line.
And again, that's why the exhibit, or the, in their application for the sewer district is limited in its scope to right along the roadway, especially as it relates to the city of Sylvania, and then up in here is further removed. I think the mayor's concern was, right along the Michigan line as well.
Backyard to people.
There's no provision for them to be able to extend it that way.
Okay, so it's hard for me to tell. Are these like residential lots along? Yeah, I probably should have driven.
Along Memorial Highway? No, no, those are not.
So essentially, nothing along Memorial Highway can tap into the sewer, right? Until you get out here and.
No. They intend to tap those existing structures and houses along Memorial Highway. The limitation is 200 feet on each side.
Okay.
So they can, but they can't, you can't go very deep. So I mean, so 200 feet off the highway is not very far.
Okay, well, we're not showing the entirety of those properties, but we're showing the entirety of the golf course?
That's correct.
Why? Why do we have to show the entirety of the golf course, but not the entirety of those other properties that are within 200 feet of the roadway?
Their explanation?
I guess what I would rather just include, okay, I'm concerned about the golf course, I'm concerned about good lawyers down the road, okay, and I'm concerned about the pressures that we'll see. So without any control on that golf course, that's a big chunk of property. Without any control on that, I'm concerned about that, and I'm not sure, and I think there are ways that we could limit that, number one, by redesigning it so we just have a little, I mean, if we're really talking about, if it works on Memorial Highway, we could have a little spike that just goes to the house on property with the clubhouse at Whiteford.
One of the things we could do, Doug, that might alleviate the issue is they presented and made a persuasive argument that the lagoons have failed. They do need sewer service to provide that golf course.
They
presented the fact that their usage would be around six or seven.
But see, that doesn't address why we have to include the entirety of that parcel of the golf course when we're doing the same thing along Memorial Highway without including the golf course.
We can make, this is not the final agreement. This is a resolution to allow them to move forward. We can impose, if that's council's wishes, to restrict the amount of flow to that golf course property to 6 or 10 or whatever it is. And that would limit the amount of usage that particular parcel could use.
I wonder, would that be best done then, once we get the motion made to offer that up as an amendment?
That would be an appropriate way of doing it.
I mean, I don't disagree with Doug. I'm not sure I understand the legalities of it, but it certainly makes sense. But I think in terms of moving this along, perhaps we could get the motion made, and if we want to handle it as an amendment, I'm certainly inclined to do that.
Okay, let me ask you a different question. Apart from the aerial extent of this, what do we have to do with the, obviously we don't have any sewer treatment capacity. What's our deal with Lucas County?
Again, Kevin can address this as well. If you recall back, and I think in the resolution, we purchased an additional 1 million MGD, 1,000 MGD capacity when the sewer plant, in fact, Kevin's much more experienced with this because this is what he was in charge of. The capability is there to service all of this sewer usage plus much more. We have the capability through our system to accommodate it. These folks are effectively a large customer. And I think it's actually a small, is it the same size or smaller than the existing one we already have on the other side of the expressway?
It's actually smaller. The service area that we have on the east side of 23 is 250 gallons per day limit. And this one's only going to be 125,000 gallons per day. Mr. Moen's correct. When the wastewater plant was expanded in 2005, we purchased an additional. At that point, we had 1.2 million gallons of capacity in that treatment plant. When it was expanded in 2005, we purchased an additional million gallons per day of capacity in the plant. So we had 2.2 million gallons per day capacity in that wastewater treatment plant. As far as the flow that we'll be receiving from this area, our system, in reality, people will barely notice it.
How much do we currently send to the county?
It varies, and you know, during rain events and things of that nature. But other than very large rain events, we don't approach our 2.2 million gallons even close. And the same provisions on exceeding that capacity. We plan to put that into this agreement with
Do we make money on this deal?
Yes.
How much money do we make?
We have our sewer rates that we council passed.
Yeah.
Where there's a rate the city pays.
Right.
There's a kick up for the non-city residents inside the state of Ohio, and there's a surcharge that we presently charge to Michigan, which is what the other district is. And so the answer is yes.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to say from the meeting, it was brought up that this sewage is getting into the north branch of Ten Mile Creek, one way or the other, because they have houses without septic systems, and it's getting in to our water, and it's coming this direction. So it is helpful for us as a city to not have that happening. I think Todd brought that up at our meeting. It is an environmental issue for our community.
I have a question. If they exceed their limit, what happens?
The language that we put, because again, this is a resolution to enter into agreement, discussions or enter into an agreement. I had talked with Mr. Moan about including the same language that is in our Lucas County agreement, that if they exceed their capacity, they pay a surcharge rate. That will be the same surcharge rate that we're required to pay if we do exceed our capacity limit. So they have to live within that limit, or they pay a surcharge on that amount.
Okay, so if we pass this resolution, we will yet again see an agreement. And this resolution doesn't limit the terms of that agreement.
No, this is really just a document necessary for them to be able to obtain their funding. They have a public hearing, I think, later this week up in Michigan across the line, and then they have to get their application in. This resolution is our statement of intent that we will enter into an agreement. And I think with an amendment that restricts the amount of usage or flow coming from the golf course area, I think will address the concern you might have, and we can work out the details in the final agreement.
Yeah, and well, I don't know what else I haven't thought of. I'm a little reluctant. I'm comfortable saying we're going to enter into an agreement without saying what that is, you knowing what our concerns are.
Right.
Without specifying that in the resolution, because I don't know what else, as I learn more about this, I might come up with it. And I wouldn't want to foreclose those other concerns because we didn't include it in the resolution. And I guess the thing I'm thinking about is, I'm a little concerned about this 200-foot strip. I'm not quite sure.
It's 200, it's 400-foot strip from the center of the road.
That you can hook up.
Right. Anything beyond that, you can't. That's to prevent anybody, the concept of a user, a larger user, that would take up more space, be further off of the road, that type of thing. So it can't
have to be physically within.
Right. 200 feet on either side of the center of the road.
Well, I really like the restricted golf course area.
I think that's something we can okay. accommodate, because they testified that's all their flow was needed. But they have a need to abate their lagoon problem, I think is the issue.
And if there's a specific problem with the current situation that's impacting our water quality, I think we ought to be in touch with the Michigan Department of Environmental Protection.
They're well aware of it. That's why they're making them do this. This was one of three or four different options they had to solve the problem. Okay. Thank you. Further questions or discussion? If not, I think it's time for the resolution to be introduced.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce Resolution 5, 2012, a resolution declaring the city of Sylvania's intent to enter into an agreement with the county of Monroe, Michigan, the township of Whiteford of Monroe County, Michigan, and the county of Lucas in the state of Ohio, permitting the Whiteford Township Sewer Number 2 service area to connect to the city of Sylvania sewer system and discharge sewage to the Sylvania system for ultimate treatment at Lucas County's Maumee River Wastewater Treatment Plant, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 5-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Mr. Hannan, I think we want to make an amendment to the motion.
No, I'm perfectly happy to have total reign to review the agreement that you present. I'm not limiting myself. I just want to clear, whatever agreement you propose, I'm going to look at in its entirety.
I appreciate it.
This does, however, refer to Exhibit A, which I assume is this.
That's correct.
Which includes the golf course.
Right, but what we've done here in the resolution, there's only three or four things in the resolution that we have agreed upon, one of which is the maximum amount of flow. We certainly have the right to restrict areas within that service area that get less flow.
Okay, so you're saying I'd like to know if we could restrict the proposed service area. I see what you're saying.
I should just put it in right now, you know, if you would like. Just put in an amendment that would indicate that the area service area that reflects the golf course area, the flow from that area should be no greater than 10. I don't know. They said 6, but I
think a number. That's what they requested, was 6.
Make it 10.
10. So that would allow them expansion of some facilities there, but not.
So we would amend it to say, where's the proposed service area shown as attached to Exhibit A?
And further that,
the flow from the area designated as a golf course shall
not exceed 10.
Shall not exceed 10.
Right.
MGD?
MGD.
10, or point? 10 ERUs, equivalent residential units.
10 ERUs.
Right.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Had a motion?
I guess that's a motion to amend.
Okay.
Can we say the motion? Because I heard you doing a sidebar, but I'm right.
I think I have it down. Probably the clerk does too.
It would be that the resolution be further amended to reflect that the service area that denotes the golf course section have a further restriction that of the total flow, no more than 10 ERUs be permitted to come from that area.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to amend resolution number 5-2012 in the top of the second page, the last whereas, to include and further that the golf course area flow shall not exceed 10 ERUs. All in favor of that amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of resolution 5-2012.
As amended.
As amended.
Second.
Removed and seconded for final passage of resolution 5-2012 as amended as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. An amended resolution 5-2012 is approved. And we will work on the final document. They needed your approval to pursue their very generous agricultural area grant to install this system. All right, I think we're ready to move on to agenda item 6, which is a proposed ordinance 19-2012. This is for a St. Joseph Church to put up a banner across Monroe Street. I think we've done these in the past. Mr. Hanum.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move adoption of ordinance number 19-2012. All members of council having received copies, I will read by title only, approving the banner application of St. Joseph Church, authorizing the Deputy Director of Public Service to indicate such approval on behalf of the City of Sylvania, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that ordinance number 19-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Mr. Mayor, move final passage of ordinance number 19-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 19-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 19-2012 is approved. I guess we're here too late. Moving on to agenda item 7. Proposed ordinance 2012. This was ordered legislation to approve various capital improvement projects as a part of our capital improvement budget for the year. Mr. Miller, I don't know whether you want to address this or you want Mr. Smith to talk about it some.
Yeah, we'll let Mr. Smith talk about it first.
Okay, I just had a couple of comments. This is the list that we talked about that in 3 weeks, the last committee of the whole meeting, and I arranged it by fund, including the amounts and the account numbers that we want to appropriate the funds to. Three things I wanted to point out was the street cleaner, I put it in the entire amount rather than the five-year financing option, because that seemed to be the way council was leaning at that committee the whole meeting. Just this afternoon, I finally got the information from the bank. If we were to go with the lease option, the finance charge would be 2.25%, and the interest over the life of the five-year financing would be $12,500. So I put it in here at full cost, because the conversation at that last meeting, well, it was kind of leaning towards why they had finance charge if you want to. So just so you know, that's in there for the full amount. And the salt dome is not on here because Kevin, at the next meeting, will have the request for permission to advertise for bids, and we'll appropriate money for the salt dome, and then we'll meet accept the bids.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 20-2012. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. An ordinance to approve and authorize various capital improvement projects, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 20-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage ordinance number 20-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 20-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 20-2012 is approved. On to agenda item 8. Mr. Moat has a report about our current natural gas aggregation agreement and then a proposed ordinance of action to take. Mr. Moat.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The memorandum I hopefully lays out the course of action that our aggregation is recommending that we pursue. We have been supplied for a number of years by IGS that has provided us a discounted rate over what we would be having to pay from Columbia Gas. And we went out for proposals for gas service for this coming fall, this next period. Our contract with IGS expires in April. And when we received a number of proposals, at the end, it was clear that IGS offered us the best rate and the best cost savings to our customers. That rate will take us from our present 9x plus $1.67 per MCF, effectively down to $1.33 per MCF, substantial savings over what we had last year. The one bump that we have to be aware of is that we will, in order to get the best possible price, which is lower than any of the other RFPs, IGS has asked for the ability to lock in the cost that they have to pay to at any time between the expiration period in April to as late as November. Our price stays the same, but they needed some additional incentive to try to negotiate or pick a lower rate for themselves to pay. We went back and forth as to how we might fund the gap or how we might address it, and there's no simple way that doesn't cost a lot of money. So what you may have is some confusion at the end of May, end of April, when IGS no longer is our supplier. We will go to a default Columbia Gas for the summer season, or at least for a period of months, until IGS locks in and we can sign our new contract. The cost of not having this gap was would be over $300,000 to our customers, and we felt that this minor confusion of dropping off of IGS, going to Columbia Gas, and then reconnecting to IGS will be something that I think our city's administration is going to have to be able to handle questions that might come. But the savings is substantial. We're paying a good rate now. It's going to get much better for next year. It's the recommendation of our aggregation to accept and authorize us, when this contract is prepared in the next week or two, to be able to sign it. I'm prepared to answer questions about where we are on it.
Mr. Brown, it seems like the confusion always comes in when these letters start coming out from these suppliers. Yep. What type of letters will be coming to our citizens?
Well, we will obviously have IGS, the aggregation, will compose a letter that will attempt to do a better job of explaining it in simple English than I just did to council tonight. But the short, so there'll be an explanatory letter that will explain what's happening, and there will obviously be some confusion. We had a lot of discussion at the aggregation as to how best to handle it, and I think it's going to have to be something we were thinking about hiring our consultant to hire a team to be able to respond, but I think each of our municipalities will take on that responsibility. I don't think that the number is going to be so great that we can't handle it if the letter isn't sufficient.
Jim, are we allowed to, as a council, tell folks what we think they ought to do? And do we want to do
it? Now you ask a sort of separate question. The first question is...
Well, I'm talking about, you're talking about writing a letter.
That will go out.
Can we include in that letter a recommendation for us, from us, as to what we think is in most people's best interest?
You can. Being a part of the aggregation, this is what they're going to get. They don't have to do anything. If they want, and what always happens, and one of the suppliers we chose not to move forward in is how customers are approached to try to get a better rate. And we've had that for years. Sometimes we get calls asking for what advice to give. Our rates are always going to be lower than Columbia Gas's. The others may not. I'd be careful about having us making a recommendation on what they can do other than what we provide by the aggregation, but we could look into it.
Jim, beyond that, because I get a couple calls every year when these letters go out, probably we all do, and But I think this business of having it revert to Columbia Gas for a couple of months in the summer is particularly confusing.
Yes.
Would we be able, either ourselves or through the aggregation, to draft something that we could post on the city's website so that rather than trying to explain it individually to folks, we could just direct them there? And I would encourage, you know, the aggregation does a good job of writing in lawyer language. Mm-hmm. I would encourage them to write or find somebody who could write this in plain English for our citizens, for me and our citizens.
I think that that's a good suggestion. The letter that goes out has to meet certain criteria.
Yeah, I get that.
And if we can find a way to cushion the discussion so that it's more readily understandable.
Yeah.
I think we can.
Yeah, and I guess make an effort to make it understandable, but for sure, let's post it on the website. And I don't know, Mayor, if we have an ability to take that same piece of copy and put it in the Country Journal, but I think the more we can be proactive about this, the better.
We can. Of course we can.
And Jim, maybe simple is the best. I mean, even if the last line just said, if you want the best price, don't do anything.
Yeah.
That's the key sentence. That's all the letter really
Well, see, the question of best price, it's in the, you know, you don't know.
Or if you want to be a member, if you want to stay as a member of the aggregation, do not do anything.
Then well, that's those letters say
right.
That. Those letters say that.
In about 50 more words.
I understand.
Nice big bold letters at the top.
This is
don't do anything.
Don't do anything. Throw this letter away.
But I think
But the competitors are going to make it confusing. They're the ones that are going to try to confuse everybody by trying to get the business.
And you know, even IGS, they send out their own mailings, which gets confusing. And
right.
and they're the best of the bunch. The other one that gave a relatively low price had some real, you know, some real interesting tactics mm-hmm. on how they tried to sell it. I take it, I understand it. We've had this for years, and this is going to be an exceptional extra little measure.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is, of course, that when we go to the Columbia gas rate for that short period of time, there's hardly any no gas consumption, so it's a pretty good mm-hmm. time to have this problem.
Within the past, I don't know, two or three weeks, I received some kind of letter, and I read through it, and it didn't apply, so I got rid of it. I wish I'd kept it, because I thought it said that if you weren't part of the aggregation, you would be assigned a supplier. Now, if that's the case, then what's going to happen when we go off? Will we just be assigned a supplier?
Columbia Gas.
Well, from this letter, I thought it said they would choose a supplier other than Columbia Gas, a default supplier, you know, like randomly.
The default supplier will be Columbia Gas.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what that particular letter said. I'd be happy, if you could find it, I'd be happy to go.
You know, it's gone.
But it's perhaps an attempt to say, you know, as opposed to having someone selected for you, you have a chance to pick us, ABC. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it seemed to me that they were going to do it for you. And so when I read about this, I'm thinking, well, then during that period of time that we're not on with anybody, are they going to put us on with somebody, and then will we have to go back to IGS? I mean,
it'll automatically take place. You don't really have to do anything unless you independently want to opt out and contract with a third supplier, which over the last 8 years it's shown to have been the wrong thing to do.
Right. Yeah. I want to, you know,
because our rates keep dropping.
The aggregation has been very good.
Yeah. And we've got the best rate we've ever had
yes,
coming up. So
absolutely. So I don't want to lose it.
Yeah. So this ordinance would allow, once the formalized agreement with IGS is put together, we'll authorize the mayor, director of finance, to sign the contract as we've done in the past. And the aggregation and I will review the contract before it's finally signed.
All right, we do have ordinance 21-2012 to read. Mr. Brown is not here to read it as utilities. Mrs. Westfall, as a member of the Utilities Committee, would you read this one?
Happy to. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 21-2012. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with Interstate Gas Supply, Inc., IGS, to act as the city's natural gas aggregation supplier for an 11-month period beginning in May to October of 2012. All members of council having received in advance, to October of 2012, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 21-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 21-2012.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 21-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 21-2012 is approved. We'll move on to agenda item 9. We have first is 9A, which is on the agenda, proposed ordinance 22-2012. This is to make a change in the prosecutor position with the Department of Law. Mr. Mullen, you want to explain this one?
I will be happy to, Mr. Mayor. This is really the prelude to the compensation ordinance, which will be considered by council as agenda item 9B. As many on council are aware, if not all, one of our two prosecutors was elected judge in Toledo Municipal Court, and her office became available. It's my recommendation that the city prospectively change the way in which our law department is constituted, in part as it relates to the prosecutor's office. We have two prosecutors assigned there. They are city employees, and they both work full time. It's my position that particular department can be reduced to one city employee and an additional prosecutor or prosecutors can be hired privately to provide assistance. And so my recommendation, which I can discuss with the accompanying ordinance, it will be reducing that number of maximum hours to 32 hours privately. What this particular ordinance merely does is change the definition and the titles in the prosecutor's office to eliminate that second position. And then the compensation ordinance that follows will pick up how we're going to provide those services going forward. But this is merely to eliminate that second position from the prosecutor's office, and the rest will follow in the following ordinance. So it's my recommendation that we delete it, reducing the number of people in the law department by one.
You know, I just have a question, Mr. Moan.
Yes.
Can you help me understand who this person would have reported into in the past?
The the Ohio Revised Code and the charter puts the law director, it reports to the mayor.
Right.
The members of the law department report to the law director. So I was in charge of the two prosecutors that are here. Statutorily, I'm in charge of the prosecution of all misdemeanors in the court's jurisdiction. So it's my responsibility to be in charge.
That's exactly what I was trying to confirm. That's what I thought was the case, but certainly if there was a change and there was a different reporting structure.
No, the reporting structure remains the same. We're just deleting the one position, and I'll address how we're going to fill that in a bit.
Mr. Lukey, would you be willing to read this one?
I would, and Mr. Moan and I talked a bit about this as chair of the HR committee, and presumably, Mr. Moan, this will save us some salary and benefits for that second process.
That's correct, and I can discuss that as an adjunct to what Mr. Eckenhour is going to cover soon.
Okay, then, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce ordinance number 22-2012. Copies have been made available to members of council, therefore I will read by title only. Revising certain administrative, departmental, and divisional organization of the city by amending Sylvania Codified Ordinance Section 131.01c to delete the position of assistant prosecutor in the Department of Law, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 22-2012 be read by title only, the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, ordinance number 22-2012.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 22-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 22-2012 is approved. Now we'll move on to added agenda item 9B, which is proposed ordinance 23-2012. You've all had an opportunity to review this prior to this evening, and this is the compensation ordinance to complement the contracts that you previously approved for our union employees, granting a 1% pay raise and a $450 signing bonus. This grants the same 1% pay raise to most of the employees, with some special exceptions that are listed in the title, and it only grants the $450 signing bonus to the employees at the lower pay ranges, not certainly the upper level pay range area. So this is to bring all our employees into the same 1% pay increase. We always like to do that so that the non-union employees have no reason to become union employees. And Mr. Eikenhour, I hope I didn't say anything that you were going to cover, but why don't you catch us up on this?
Some, but you did good. It's correct. You did passed a ordinance last year for our union employees with the 1% plus the $450 lump sum fund. We also, towards the first of the year, passed one for non-union employees and court employees with the same 1% and the $450 signing bonus. This particular one here is again, a 1% pay increase for basically our appointed officials and supervisors, as well as our labor and trade supervision group, and it's a 1% basic increase. However, the $450 lump sum payment is not going to be offered to either the directors or the superintendents. It's basically foremen, crew leaders, such, and there's going to be a cost approximately of about $25,500 for the 1% increase, about $6,300 for the one-time lump sum. And as Mr. Moan mentioned, we're also eliminating the position of assistant prosecutor here, which perhaps the benefits alone will cover the 1% here. And if there's a savings in the salary end of it, it should cover the lump sum payment. So we're going to be eliminating that spot. I think that's pretty much it. I think this represents about
27
employees.
Mr. Moan.
Yes. A component of this legislation sets the provisions for my ability to hire, as an independent contractor, prosecutorial services of 30 hours per week at a rate of $44 an hour. A couple things to note. This will reduce the number of prosecution total hours in the court, but it's my opinion that we can do that and still provide the quality of coverage that we have in the past. And I'm comfortable that can be done. The The financial savings, I think, are there. This is really a return to what had been the past practice of the city prior to 1997, where all the prosecution services were contracted out, not city employees. Effectively, a return to a partial privatization of that department. And I think it will work well. It's worked well in the past, and a number of examples that would cover that. But I think that this is the right way to go and a good first step. I have made a selection for one of the two part-time prosecutors that I think is prepared to step into that position immediately. It would probably start formally next Monday. Be happy to address that maybe perhaps at the next council meeting. But if there's any questions about that, I'd be happy to address it. But I think that there's savings there, but it's also, I think, the appropriate way to better manage our flow of services to that office.
Jim, I appreciate your efforts to streamline and make that office more effective. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Lukey, this is where you earn the big dollars as a council member.
Right. Please bear with me. Before I start, I want to thank Mr. Eichenauer as well for getting this information to council before the weekend and in the packet. I think it was helpful to be able to review this. It's a lot of data, and I appreciated the extra time. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 23-2012. Copies have previously been made available to members of council, therefore I'll read by title only. Making certain position and compensation pay plan changes, making certain salary, wage, and other service compensation adjustments to the codified ordinance of Sylvania 1979 as amended, and other ordinances by granting a 1% pay increase to each appointed official whose title is listed in section 139.03E3, except for the Forester and Special Events Coordinator, the Deputy Director of Public Service and Director of Public Service, by granting a 2% pay increase to the Director of Public Service, with all the increase provided herein for the Treasurer and the Director of Personnel being allocated to the Director of Personnel, and with the increase provided here for the Economic Development Administrative Services Coordinator, deleting the position of Assistant Prosecutor, by providing the clerk of court salary to be $82,113 annually, commencing January 1st, 2012 through April 1st, 2012, and $71,000 annually, commencing April 2nd, 2012 and thereafter, by granting a 1% increase from $149.37 per hour to $150.86 per hour for legal services billable to the city by James E. Moan, in excess of the hours herein allocated to the salary of the Director of Law pursuant to agreement and codified ordinance section 131.01B, by granting a 1% pay increase for each employee in the Labor and Trade Supervision Group whose title is listed in codified ordinance section 139.03E4, except for the construction supervisor and facilities manager, by granting an additional $3,000 pay increase to the utilities manager, by granting a one-time lump sum payment of $450 to certain employees as set forth on Exhibit C, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 23-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage ordinance number 23-2012.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 23-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Lukey?
Yes.
Westfall?
Yes.
Sussman?
Yes.
Milner?
Yes.
Capolini?
Yes.
Daniel?
No.
The vote is 5-1. It does pass, and ordinance 23-2012 is approved. Thank you. I think we're ready to move on now to agenda item 10, which is committee reports, and agenda item 10A is a report of the Finance Committee meeting held earlier this evening. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Finance Committee met earlier this evening with all committee members in attendance, as well as Mrs. Hussman and Mrs. Capellini. This meeting was to discuss community reinvestment areas, CRAs, and particularly CRA number three. We had Mr. Schmidt here, who is one of the investors in the South Briar Shopping Center. Mr. Moon gives a history of CRAs. We have nine in our community, and how they work is 100% abatement over the base for 6 years on new construction and remodels, and it can be amended once or twice. Mr. Schmidt spoke about the South Briar facility, how he would like to do a new facade. As I mentioned, he's only one of three owners, however, he owns the largest portion of the center. He's asking for a 15-year CRA. He's also possibly considering putting apartments up above the current center to give like a village feel to the center. He, when asked about the property value, he felt that this could raise the property value $150,000 to $200,000, and it was his hope that he could save $3,000 to $5,000 a year with tax abatements. There was much discussion about this and around the table, and a motion was made that the Director of Economic Development, the Law Director, and Mr. Lukey, who chairs the Economic Development Subcommittee, meet with Mr. Schmidt. That was one part of the motion. The second part of the motion is that the Economic Development Subcommittee take up the holistic policy of reviewing the CRAs, talking, bringing in the schools, and talking how we perhaps should change this policy going forth. That motion passed, and so consequently, I do have a referral to the Economic Development Subcommittee on this matter. And that's my report.
Mr. Mayor, I think what we'll do instead of try to schedule that tonight is perhaps have an initial meeting with Mr. Moon and perhaps the property owner, kind of understand where that is, and hopefully we can get something scheduled prior to our next council meeting. I can work with Margie on that, but I think we just need to get a little handle on where this is headed.
All right, I think we probably need a motion to make that referral.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to refer the question of CRAs to the Economic Development Subcommittee. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. So it's in your committee, Mr. Lukey.
Stand by.
Okay. Any further committee reports to be made at this time? Hearing none, we'll go on to committee referrals. We do have Agenda Item 11A, which is Historic Village Financial Report Referral. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Director of Finance has been working with Weber and O'Brien in preparing a finance audit for the Savannah Historical Village, and I'd like to refer that to the Buildings and Grounds Committee for their review and consideration and a report back to council. Do I need to do that in the form of a motion? So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to refer the Historic Village Financial Report to the Building and Grounds Committee for their review and recommendations, if any, to council. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. Any other referrals to be done at this time? If not, we'll move on to added Agenda Item 12. Mr. Sanford would like to give updates on two items affecting the downtown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to give you and council members just a quick update of a couple items. First, with the CDBG planning grant that we had received and we've been working on the past year, that's going to be complete in the next couple of months. The question was, will there be the Tier 2 program available this year. The good news is that there will be some monies available. It may not be in the same form as that Pogemeyer and Danielle Steinhauser had originally had hoped for. So at the state level, they're making some changes in how that program is going to be handled going forth. And what I'd like to do is look at a date in the future that Danielle could come and help explain how that's going to be. I was relieved to hear this last week from Danielle, because initially when she was telling me this, there was a chance that the program was going to be discontinued completely. What may happen that she feels is that money, maybe not the $400,000 that we thought from the Tier 2 originally, there will be substantial amounts, maybe not that much, but it would go toward building improvements in our downtown. So anything that I would be coming to our city, I thought was positive. So we'll schedule Danielle to come and help explain that, and then also answer any questions. I also got an update from Sharon Woods with Land Use USA, who's doing our downtown market study. She reports she's about two to three weeks ahead of her schedule that she had put together originally for us, and next week she'll be giving me a draft of her downtown marketing plan for our review before the final report. So within, you know, I'm hoping within a month that her report will be final. She wanted to pass on that when she's worked with other downtowns like this, her usual recommendation at this point is that downtowns have been overbuilt, or there's an extension or other developments in the area, so there's a contraction that needs to be done, or that she recommends for downtowns. What she's seeing right now in Sylvania, that she's very optimistic about our downtown's future, as there is capacity for our downtown to expand and to grow. And she sees many opportunities. So we'll be able to hear more from her when she comes in, as we had asked, I think, when she gave her presentation, that she'll be able to come back and we'll look at a time to schedule that and be able to answer some questions.
Yeah, Bill, would it be appropriate to schedule that kind of in the form of a public meeting so that we could have our community in to hear their report?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it'd be nice to maybe do that as a committee of the whole early on a council night, perhaps.
I know the Downtown Sylvania Association would definitely like to be here.
Mm-hmm. Bill, what's the time frame do you expect that her finished report will be ready?
She'd be ready, she told me, by the end of this month.
By the end of it. So it could be sometime in April having this
easily in April. I think she did tell me, I looked at if we did it at a council night. The first night she's at a conference, but the second meeting date in April, she would be available to be here that evening.
The 16th.
If we scheduled it that night, we could do it.
Mm-hmm. Should we tentatively do that, or is that premature?
No, we could do that. I
asked your council picture night, ladies and gentlemen. Is it, or is it? Did we move that? Did we move it?
That's in July.
In July. Okay. Then why not?
The 16th.
How much time do you think she needs?
If you're setting a committee of the whole meeting, no. Okay.
Time, well, Mark, that's a good question. I'm hoping within an hour that we should possibly be able to do that.
Could we schedule that at 6 o'clock on the 16th?
Yeah, I'll make the motion that we schedule a committee of the whole meeting on Monday, April the 16th at 6 o'clock to hear the completed downtown study, market study.
I think that's second. Great. I'll just add on that, maybe that the other report, hearing from Danielle, maybe do that at the same time, or I'll find another time, maybe that'd be appropriate.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a motion on the floor to schedule a committee of the whole meeting at 6:30 p.m. on April 16th. 6 p.m., excuse me. 6 p.m. on Monday, April the 16th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, that brings us to the end of our scheduled agenda. Mrs. Hussman.
Could I schedule a building and grounds committee, please?
Certainly.
I know it's for Brown is not here, but Katie and Mary and I, maybe we'll set a date and hope he'll join us. And if he can't, when he gets home, we'll make a change.
Was that right, so Charles, and he probably would be able to be here.
On the 19th.
Is this about the
Historical Village.
Historical Village thing? When are you doing that?
We don't know, we're figuring it out right now.
What is Mr. Brown? I think he's going to be back in a week or so, so I think you're safe anytime after that.
I want to get the morning of the 16th or the 14th.
Could you do it on the 16th?
Sure, will you be on the 16th? Yes, 8 o'clock.
That's fine.
Okay.
March 16th. Is it a really big document, will we get copies before then, or?
I've got electronic version I can send out.
Okay, that'd be great.
Send that to everybody.
What date did you decide on?
8 a.m.
In this room?
Yes.
Okay. Any other committee schedules or meetings to be set? Okay, related to the agenda, I do want to refer you to information item A, which is a report from the Taxation Division. If you recall, at the end of January, we were actually down a little bit. End of March, or end of February, we're up 6.39% for the year to date. One way we've looked at these is on a monthly basis, you know, is it the largest, most that we've ever collected in the Division of Taxation for that month? No, both January and February are not records for months. However, January and February together put us in as good a shape as we've ever been at this point in the year, but it's early in the year. You've got to let this develop for more months, but at least it's not moving in the wrong direction. It's moving in the right direction. So that's good news. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I will. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and we stand adjourned until our next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, March 19th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.